California, the French family is okay. And that's all the messages I have at the present time, Bob.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You know, I think that do you have any reports to give at this time, Otto, before I do something drastic, like maybe play some music?
I have just one here, Bob. This is addressed to Von Kruger in the Swanson Lake area. He's working on an oil rig down there. And the message, everything okay here in Anchorage, from his sister, Judy Kruger. She is here. Everybody's fine.
Okay, here's Charlie Gray with a message for ACS. ACS, listen, please.
Yeah, we're having a little problem here. We can talk to you real fine, but when you plug us in
to someone from ACS, but you'll have to call us. The number is BR20301. Number 20301. ACS, are you listening, please? I see that Otto's taking more calls. You know, I would, I think it'd be a good idea. Has anybody looked the temperature lately? Why don't we take a reading on that temperature?
Well, let's see. And, the thermometer says about 25.
25 degrees?
Mercury job.
Yeah, well, it's not too bad. 25 degrees, that's probably about the downtown temperature, very close to what it would be in most parts of town. And, I'm going to play some music and give you the time. It's 21 minutes before 2 o'clock, Alaska Standard Time. I only thought I was going to play music. I'm going to tune in the Kenai Camper. Hello there.
This is nothing real pressing, Bob, but while it's on my mind, while we have a second or two, I wanted to ask you a question. I have in my possession a roll of 8mm color film that was taken by a friend in downtown Anchorage during the time of the earthquake. And I was wondering if it would be possible to get this processed and put on TV when we're back in commission. That's 8mm color film.
I was just getting some advice from the engineers. They say that there's no way for us to use 8mm film. Bob, I suppose there is a possibility it could be projected on a screen and shot with a TV camera, but that's pretty rough, isn't it? No way? No way. Sorry. Next time we have an earthquake like this, tell him to use 16mm, will you, Bill?
Will do.
Okay.
Let's try that ACS one more time.
See if
we can get the ACS up down here.
ACS, I think you might as well put us up, because Charlie's not going to let you alone.
We're real anxious to have you call us down here. The AP is not coming through. We are not receiving the AP. We get your local feed fine, but no AP. And the ACS teletype men are real anxious for someone from the ACS toll building to give us a call here at KENI.
No AP, no Safeway, no Piggly Wiggly, no nothing.
This is radio station KFAR 660 on your dial in Fairbanks, Alaska, bringing you the on-the-spot happenings at Anchorage, Alaska, through our sister station, radio station KENI in Anchorage. Alaska Standard Time is now 1:41 p.m. Correction, 1:41 a.m., and we will return to radio station KENI.
I just wanted to get a little announcement in here with a musical background. We have a request for Ed K to report to the charcoal burger at the earliest possible opportunity. Ed K, report to the charcoal burger, please.
And after he does, would you have him report down here with a charcoal burger?
See what we can scare up.
This is Harry Hughes at 920 14th at Fairbanks, Alaska. This is the second side of the second reel, monitoring KFAR radio rebroadcast of KENI Anchorage Radio with a rundown on the happenings of the earthquake. And this is 2:31 in the morning at this time. I'm starting on the second half of the second reel.
I see. There's an Air Force First Aid Station there. Civil Defense Headquarters down on 5th Avenue there.
This is radio station KFAR 660 on your dial in Fairbanks, Alaska, bringing you this emergency broadcast from radio station KENI in Anchorage. At this time, I would like to announce that we do not have any contact. Once again, we do not have any contact with radio station KENI. We are able to receive them, but we cannot transmit any messages. If this is to any part of the Anchorage area, we'd have appreciated if you would hold off with your messages until such time that we are able to take messages, and then we will get them through to Kenai, at which time we will broadcast this over the air. So please, until then, we're getting phone calls in. We need the lines clear, so please hold off on any messages until we announce over the air that we are taking messages to radio station KENI. At the present time, we are able to receive radio station KENI, but we are unable to broadcast to them. We'll now return you to radio station KENI in Anchorage for an on-the-spot report from our reporters there.
That Honolulu has reported all clear in that area. Honolulu, Hawaii has reported all clear. They are not anticipating any further tidal waves. All residents are being returned to their homes. Honolulu, Hawaii has reported an all clear, so I guess the worst is over for down there. Mr. Petrie has just arrived from Girdwood and gave us this report. As far as he knows, all persons at Girdwood are safe. That is, the people from Anchorage who were down at Girdwood for skiing, I guess. They are presently being housed at the Tiger's Den. There is heavy damage elsewhere. The Little Dipper Club near Alyeska burned. The houses in the area, according to Mr. Petrie, have been knocked as far as 3 feet off their foundations. He says that between Jolly Vi's and Girdwood, and I think Jolly Vi's is at about mile 27 on the Seward Highway out of Anchorage, and between there and Girdwood, he said there were approximately 12 avalanches. Some, he reported, were 40 feet deep, covering the Seward Highway. Occupants of the cars that were caught between the avalanches got out and hiked back to Girdwood. The U.S. Army is presently on the scene down there at the Seward Highway, clearing the avalanches from the Seward Highway. However, we report that according to Mr. Petrie, the people who had gotten trapped on the Seward Highway by these avalanches between Jolly Vi's and Girdwood had managed to hike back to Girdwood. They are all safe, and they are being housed at the Tiger's Den, though there has been substantial damage elsewhere. Tiger's Den is still usable as a public shelter, and the people from the Anchorage area who are in Girdwood are being housed at the Tiger's Den. Report that once again. Honolulu reports all clear. They had had tidal waves, and so they had removed their residents to high ground. However, it's been reported all clear there now, and the residents are being returned to their homes, even those in the lowland. This is Jeannie Chance now returning you either to Bill in the Kenai camper or somebody down at the studio.
Why don't you go ahead and take it, Bob? Yeah, is Jeannie handy there? Jeannie, could I have conversation with you?
Is that what?
Do you want to have a conversation with me? I'll be happy to listen to you. What do you want?
Well, I'd like to listen to you. Have you had any reports from along the Aleutian chain at all? defense headquarters down there.
From the Aleutian chain, the only report I have is an unconfirmed report from Kodiak that they had two pretty severe tidal waves there, and we'd gotten this report at about 12:50 this morning that Kodiak, now this was a report from ham operators, not an official report, but according to the ham operators who have contacted our ham operators here in Anchorage, they had sustained two tidal waves. There was between 10 and 14 feet of water in the streets. The waterfront, the docks and the houses on the waterfront had been washed away. It was not known if any lives were lost in this. It had been reported earlier that there was a very strong possibility that everybody had been evacuated to high ground, because I understand the damage at Kodiak was from the tidal wave, and they probably had enough warning for the residents of Kodiak to get to high ground. However, we have had the report that Kodiak was, well, we had one report that Kodiak was virtually demolished. The other report from the ham radio operator was that the docks and houses on the waterfront had been washed away. That's the only report we have at this time from the Aleutian chain.
Jeannie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
There's an old saying that says, never underestimate the power of a woman. And I never will again, because you have just done what nobody else was able to do. You have just added a new link to the Aleutian chain. Kodiak has just now been added as a link to the Aleutian chain. I'm teasing you, Jeannie. Are you there?
No, I don't think you're teasing me. I'm telling you, that earthquake gave me sort of a jolt, and I've been on the air ever since it hit at 5:56, and I now feel a slight tremor once again. Either that, or I'm getting a little bit dizzy from lack of sleep.
I think that you did a marvelous job there. Even the governor couldn't add Kodiak to the Aleutian chain until you came along. Incidentally, we did have something here from the wires of Associated Press. There have been 3 confirmed deaths in Seward and 20 missing. And this message comes from the governor's office. 3 confirmed deaths in Seward and 20 missing. So the disaster that struck Seward, probably we'll be hearing a lot more about it tomorrow. But oh, was that Bill Berry? Go ahead, Bill.
I was just wondering if it might be a good idea to repeat once again the names of the people that are requested to meet here at 3 a.m. for the meeting in the public safety building.
I think that wouldn't hurt at all, Bill. You go right ahead.
Okay, thanks a lot. First of all, of course, all the members of the city council are requested to attend, as are Harlan Davis, R. Everett Harris, Glenn McKee, Ben Boeke, B-O-E-K-E, Dr. David Duncan, Miss Irene Griffith, Robert H. Oldland, Lyman L. Woodman, Robert Hernstein, Lieutenant Colonel Douglas Kluwer, Mrs. Connie Wilson, James P. Bell, John Petranovich, Robert E. Green, Wallace Flennis, Elizabeth Kirby, George Burns, Roy Sampson, Mrs. Alice Roden, E. Jack Shope, John Flanagan, Captain A. E. Harned, Orrin Hillman, Jack Easley, Larry Eastland, William Morgan II, Charles Bynum, George Easley, and Jack Harris. Those people are requested to attend the meeting along with all the city councilmen to be held here at the Public Safety Building just 19 minutes from this time at 3 a.m. Bob?
Okay, Bill, that's real good. I imagine that by now it's possible that Otto, is it possible you have more announcements in there? She's taking one right now, isn't she? Everybody's recruited the services. I was teasing Jeannie about the power of a woman, but I'll tell you, during emergencies such as these, we recruit all the women. Dolly's been down here, and I see that Otto's wife, Carol, is in there taking messages on the phone. So the dispatch side gets a good workout. And I want to tell you that, Jeannie, we're proud of the job you're doing down there. I know you've been busy as all get out since probably since about the time the earthquake ended. And you'll be down there hitting the ball, too, until after this meeting is over. Jeannie, do you have some place close by there, or are you going to go home and get some sleep? Is Jeannie around there where she can hear me?
I don't think she is, Bob. I guess she's away from the monitor.
Maybe she's mad at me for teasing her about the Aleutian chain there.
I wouldn't blame her a bit.
You wouldn't blame her a bit? I wouldn't either, actually. I don't know why I do things like that. I just hate myself. Thank you very much. Now, I was talking about how all the women pitch in, and Mrs. Hill, Peggy Hill, just came down with some coffee.
Yes, sir. Right? Would you care for some coffee here, Darrell?
No.
Okay, then if you're not going to have some, I will have some myself. Bill, you go in there and try to patch things up between me and Jeannie, and I'll play some more of our earthquake serenade music here. It's 19 minutes before 3, and correction, please, Mr. Otto has reports.
I have one report? No, I have a few here, Bob. I'm very generous with my reports tonight. We have a request for collect calls through Fairbanks to O.R. Hayes in Danville, California, the number 837-2491, to R.J. Goodman in Manny, Louisiana, the number 256-3387, to Henry Leggett, in Gulfport, Mississippi, the number 863-2949. Everything fine in Anchorage. Now this is to Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Harvey in Philadelphia. No number given here. In Philadelphia, Harris Family OK in Anchorage. And would someone in Fairbanks make a collect call? All these are undoubtedly meant to be collect calls. This one to R.Z. Cood, C-O-O-D, in Belmont, Texas. The number terminal 28110, all okay in Anchorage. And would they please call Campbell's in Houston and Billy Joe Bishop, the number terminal 24443. Also to Mary LaForge at Edgewater 21068. That's also, wait a minute, I don't, that was to Mary LaForge, the number Edgewater, Covina, California. I'm not sure about this one. Anyway, the number is Edgewater 21068. Being shared, okay, call Carson.
Bob's gone.
Bob is gone. Well, I can very well carry on from here. Hello, Robert.
Thank you very much, Otto. I was just trying to get somebody to take a wild guess as to how much damage the KENI broadcasting facilities may have suffered, and I've had an estimate of $50,000. These radio antennas come pretty high, and we suffered some damage in the TV department also. We suffered some damage up here. Otto, as a matter of fact, was on duty at the time. Otto, I'm gonna ride you now a little bit. Otto was on duty here at the time when the earthquake hit, and I would like to say that we have floating studios up here. By floating, I mean that they're more or less suspended, and any kind of a little tremor will really make them rock. Just a very slight tremor. It doesn't take much to make these studios rock and roll. And, of course, with a major earthquake, the likes of which we had yesterday, Otto was here. Were you here alone?
No. Jim and
Jim Lawson and Dave Drake were
locked in.
Yeah, we're locked.
The door shut and locked on them.
Yeah.
And I had to quit broadcasting, of course, when the lights went out.
And Otto said that he sat here and caught tape cartridges for a couple of minutes and thought he would try and salvage all, I see them all piled up around here in all sorts of positions. And finally he abandoned ship. And he went out the door. And that was it. But Jim Lawson and Dave Drakey, two of our intrepid salesmen, found themselves locked in the other studio. The door shut and jammed and wouldn't open. And so I got you there, Bill. I'll be with you in a minute. I got to finish my little story here. And then along came Daryl Comstock and tried to kick the door loose. And Dave Drakey yelled through the door, said, "Gee, don't kick it like that." So Comstock said, "Okay, stay in there." And he left. No, they finally got out. They had to do a little jamming to get out. Bilberry has a report, I think, from the Kenai camper.
Sorry to interrupt you on your story like that, Bob. I'm going to give it right to Jeannie Chance. I understand she has an important message for us.
This is Jeannie Chance reporting from the headquarters here at the Public Safety Building in Anchorage, Alaska. First of all, I have a message for a Mrs. J.C. Mitchell in Fairbanks. Mrs. J.C. Mitchell in Fairbanks, your daughter Melanie Brown has called and wants you to know she is all right. For the people in Fairbanks who are relaying messages for us to the outside world, Mrs. Lauer would like for you to place a collect call to New York. Mrs. Lauer, L-A-U-E-R. She would like for you to call Mrs. Sam Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, or Mrs. Albert Bolk, B-O-L-K. The number is South, S-O, 8-5-9-8-4. Call collect and tell either Mrs. Porter or Mrs. Bolk that Mrs. Lauer and family are all right. That phone number in New York again, S-O-8-5-9-8-4. Now then, I have Mr. Roy Gilman here standing beside me, and he has a message too that we would like to get to Fairbanks. Roy?
I'd like to have someone in Fairbanks contact Jerry Claus, GL67777, or at his home, and ask him to ship down all the bread that he could, put it on the train in the morning, and continue sending it till I say whoa.
Yes, I understand too that some people are arriving on airlines. I just met, and I'm afraid I'm a little bit foggy right now. I don't, they're from a newspaper. Oh, a weekly newspaper in Fairbanks. And they had just arrived on a Wien airline plane here in Anchorage. If any other groups are planning to come down to assist, or if another airline has Mercy Flight on its way into Anchorage, possibly they could include bread too.
Good. Well, Jerry would send down several hundred or a thousand loaves, box it up and send it on the plane as we helped him out a few years ago in a situation similar to this.
Yes. How is your bakery, Mr. Gilman?
Oh, it's fine. All we're waiting for is electricity and gas. That's all we're in.
Not ready to operate yet because of lack of utilities,
that's
but
all.
The building itself is in good shape.
We have supplies and everything ready to go. All we're waiting for is just the utilities.
Well, that is good, and this possibly has caught quite a few of us short. And so if Mr. Claus and Fairbanks would be so send a message to Gene or Ernest Putnam and wants to know if your mother, if their mother is okay. She was supposed to be in Venice at the time this happened, and if you'll get in touch with Barbara Putnam at home, it would be greatly appreciated. Well, this is Jeannie Chance now getting ready to sign off for a few minutes here in the public safety building. We are beginning, getting ready to start our conference in the upstairs conference room here at the public safety building to set up our program of rescue and salvage to begin later this morning. So this is Jeannie Chance returning you now to the KENI studios.
Jeannie, before you get away, if you can hear me, Jeannie, do you need any help down there and covering that conference? Bill, maybe you can flag her down there and find out if she could use a little help.
Okay, I'll get a hold of her, Bob. And just before I give it back to you, I have a few messages that I'd like to get out. Paul Cruz, Jr. is requested to go to the Kenneth Andrus home. His mother is there. Paul Cruz, Jr., go to the Kenneth Andrus home. His mother is there. Stan Christensen. Stan Christensen. Maureen and your children are safe at Jack Henry Post 1. Also, Catherine Cruz is at the Charles Trick home and is safe. David Cruz, if you're anywhere in the vicinity, you also are supposed to go to the Keith Anders residence. Ann Reynolds, please contact KENI at the earliest possible opportunity and let us know of your welfare, and we will in turn relay it to your relatives that are wondering about you. Joyce Logan, sending a message to Kent Logan. She is okay. Joyce Logan is okay. That message goes out to Kent Logan. Mr. J.G. Long in Ketchikan, all is okay here. Mrs. Walter Hickel is okay. Mrs. Courtney, she and two boys are okay. And American Legion Post number 1 needs no more blankets at this time, but still needs ready-made sandwiches or material. And a final message goes to Leninty at Big Lake. That's L-E-N-I-N-T-Y at Big Lake. Bowman and Gaffords are all okay. Bob?
Okay, Bill, that's real good. And if you could find out if Jeannie could use a little help down there, I'll do my best to get someone down to give her a hand. We'll have, as soon as dawn breaks and we can see a little better around town in the morning, we'll have our Kenai news cars out around the area looking it over and giving you descriptions and urging you not to come downtown and just to look, you know, because there will be a lot of people working and a lot of people are trying to keep down the number of persons who are just walking the streets and looking, because they will, at least one building we know of will have to be pulled down. This is dangerous. Fewer people in the area, the better. I think Otto has a message or so.
I do have a few here, Robert. I have one here to Mr. Jack Roderick at Alyeska. Mr. Jack Roderick at Alyeska, your family is okay here in Anchorage. Collect calls through Fairbanks, this one to Seattle, Washington, to a James Mullett, M-U-L-L-E-T-T, from Helen and family, okay. To Mrs. Protsman, P-R-O-T-S-M-A-N, collect call through Fairbanks, to Lansing, Iowa, Sergeant Protsman and family, okay. To Mrs. Viola Swartz, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the number 632-5344, Sergeant Protsman, okay. A collect call through Fairbanks to L.H. Dodge, Redondo Beach, California. The number, Frontier 32319, from Red Dodge and family, and Carol and family, okay, in Anchorage. One to Ben W. Porter of Whittier, California, Oxbow. The number is Oxbow 6685 from Frank W. Smith family in Anchorage, OK. And this one to M.A. Porter in Bellevue, Washington. The number GL41062 from Red Dodge family in Anchorage. Everything hunky-dunky. Okay, Bob?
Oh, Robert. Okay, message here. This goes, this is one of those long-distance calls via Fairbanks that somebody in Fairbanks will call collect. Gerald Darnay. Or is it Darnay? Hello? Yeah, is it Gerald Darnay? D-A-U-N-A-I-S. Gerald D-A-U-N-A-I-S. Darnay in Montreal, Canada. Please call him at Mission, that's M-I, Mission 54473. 54473. Call him, collect. Tell him his family is okay in Anchorage, and please relay that along to the rest of the family, okay? Thank you very much for calling. Also, I have a message here. If anyone at the Kenai Camper or anyone in that area can, please call Mrs. James Height.
This is radio station KFAR 660 in Fairbanks, Alaska. At this time, we would like to put on the air that KFAR Radio will take care of these long-distance phone calls. So to save the confusion, we are handling and we're taping the phone calls as they're broadcasted. We have some volunteers up here at the studio who were nice enough to come up here and volunteer to make these phone calls for us. So to save confusion, please do not call these numbers. Radio station KFAR will make the phone calls, and we would like to thank you very much. We'll now return you to radio station KENI in Anchorage for an on-the-spot report from the KENI reporters.
Okay, Barb was supposed to be in Penny's at the time of the quake, and she is okay. She is right here with us now at the public safety building. And I take that back. Her mother was supposed to be in Penny's during the time of the quake, and she's very concerned about her mother's welfare. It would be possible to get in touch with Barb. She can be reached at home. This is a very urgent message. Also, we have a message. This again goes to Fairbanks, and I hope they're listening because we have a lot of numbers for them to take down this time. Someone in Fairbanks would please place a collect call to the occupant of code number 503. The number is 688-3537 at Eugene, Oregon. Leave a message for Mrs. Hazel Norris. All the Barrys are okay here in Anchorage, and I will repeat that for the benefit of those in Anchorage or in Fairbanks who may be taking this down. If you would please place a collect call to the occupant of code number 503. The number is 688-3537 in Eugene, Oregon. Leave a message for Mrs. Hazel Norris that all the Barrys are okay here in Anchorage. Also, this is another message to Fairbanks. All right, another message, please, Fairbanks, if you're listening, to Mr. and Mrs. E.F. Barry at UN 45347 at Evanston, Illinois. The same message goes there. All the Barrys are okay here in Anchorage. Once again, a repeat on that. A collect call to Mr. and Mrs. E.F. Barry at UN 45347 at Evanston, Illinois. The same message as on the above. All the Barrys are okay here in Anchorage. And use John Barry's name on both of those calls. B-A-R-R-Y. And I believe we have a message concerning Jeannie Chance there, Bill. Another Bill is helping me out here. I'd like to thank him right now if I don't get a chance later on. We do not have word on Jeannie, or we do?
She's off in there.
Okay, Bob, as soon as I find out whether or not Jeannie needs some help covering that conference, I'll let you know.
Thank you very much. You know, I know that there's one thing about this. I'm sure that the people in Fairbanks who listen would be very happy to place as many of these calls as they possibly can. However, I can't, in my wildest imagination, get a picture of all these calls going out of Fairbanks. The lines from to the outside are limited. Only so many can go. And if all these calls, all these people were trying to make all these calls at once, it would probably be the biggest jam up of ACS lines that they ever had.
This is radio station KFAR in Fairbanks. In regards to what you've just heard, we are trying to contradict this, or that is, take care of this so it doesn't happen. Radio station KFAR will make these phone calls. We will make these phone calls. We are taking them down on tape as they're put across. We have enough volunteers at the present time to handle the phone calls. So please, please do not make these phone calls. KFAR Radio will take care of this. This way we'll make sure there's no confusion. We can get through on the lines. Once again, KFAR will make these emergency phone calls that we are receiving from KDNI in Anchorage. We return you now to our reporters at radio station KDNI.
Coming along with a crew of sleepy post-earthquake victims here. Otto Miller is with me here in Kenai Studios. Dolly's here. Charlie Gray is still here. Bill Berry is there at the Kenai Camper. Jeannie Chance, who's been on the job ever since, she's been on the earthquake part, at least since after the earthquake. Jim Dodson, is he still on? Bill Dodson, yeah, Bill Dodson is still sitting at the AP teletype machine punching out messages to outside. They're going down the AP wiring stories, giving the people down there a picture of what's going on up here. And Otto Miller, who reports messages from Anchorage.
Yes, I echo your feelings about the people up there in Fairbanks who are doing such a splendid job for us here in Anchorage, and all the people here, I'm sure, will be forever grateful. All right, we will read another collect call through Fairbanks. This one to be addressed to Pauls Valley, P-A-U-L-S Valley, Oklahoma. Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. The number is BE83294. Collect Mr. and Mrs. J or LJ Hughes.
Mr. and Mrs. L.J. Hughes in Pueblo, Colorado. The number is Lincoln 47268. Lincoln 47268. And ask them to please call, tell them that John and Linda Bilesvik, B-I-L-L-E-S-B-I-K, are okay, and please call John's family. Advise them the same. Another message for someone in Fairbanks who might be kind enough to attempt to make the call. Please call James Mullett. James Mullett in Seattle. Now, this is in care of Richard Patterson. In other words, you'll be calling for Richard Patterson's phone number and calling collect for James Mullett at that number. The family here is okay, and they say, please call Grandma and advise Grandma of same. Okay, I feel like a link in many family ties here tonight. It's 5 minutes after 3 o'clock in the morning, Alaska Standard Time, KENI in Anchorage, our post-earthquake broadcast going on all night. Part of the crew working now, a few of them are home getting a few hours of well-earned sleep, and in a couple of hours, well, we'll knock off and go find a place to get some sleep. Darling, when we finally get off here, would you care to go home and go to and wade into that? That apartment?
I still haven't heard any of our
tidal waves. No, as a matter of fact, that's true. We haven't heard anything of a tidal wave. I don't know. Kenai Camper, did you hear anything further about a tidal wave developing up the Crook Inlet?
Bob, were you giving me a cue there?
Yes, I was. I was just asking, Bill, did you hear anything more about the tidal wave we were supposed to get here in Anchorage some time ago?
The last report I had, Bob, was almost 3 hours ago, and it came from Civil Defense Headquarters, and it was only a reminder to the people in the low-lying areas that we had some high water heading for us, but it was nothing to be alarmed about, but it would be better to be safe than sorry, and the people in the low-lying areas, please move out. That was the last word I've heard, and as far as I know, nothing else has developed in the tidal wave scene.
Okay, that's the latest tidal wave report from Bill Berry.
One moment.
And he says one moment. Okay, one moment it is. I hear the teletype dinging in there too, so we may be getting a report from outside. Yes, excuse me, Bill. Bill?
Trying to contact his family who are in the area somewhere, and he would appreciate it very much if they could get a call into Kenai. He is going to be listening, and notify us of their whereabouts and their welfare, and just let us know, and he'll be listening. Also, we want to send a message out to Whittier, to Barnes, Osborne, and Nicholson. We're trying to find out about their welfare. They are in Whittier, and as yet we have received no word at all from Whittier. And the people here, their relatives here in Anchorage, are okay. And we're just trying to find out about how the Barneses, the Osbornes, and the Nicholsons are in Whittier. And I'm getting a call from the shortwave, said Bob.
Yeah, that was me. I'm awfully sorry. When you said hold it a minute, I cut your microphone, and we missed the first part of that. I think that had to do with the Lowell Thomas family. I'm awful sorry, Bill, but I'm going to have to ask if you would mind repeating that, please.
Certainly, Bob, and I'm getting a call from shortwave, too. We'll give it to them as soon as I'm through here. Mr. Lowell Thomas Jr. just flew in from Fairbanks this evening. He is all right. He's trying to locate the whereabouts of his wife and family here in Anchorage. They are not in Trinigan as far as he knows, and he hopes they are at some evacuation center here in the city. If Mrs. Lowell Thomas would please get in touch with KENI, her husband will be listening, and he certainly would be able to rest a lot easier if he knew about his wife and family, their welfare, and their whereabouts. And secondly, the second message was to the Barneses, the Osbornes, and the Nicholsons in Whittier. Your relatives here in Anchorage are fine, but they're wondering about you. If you're okay, please try to get a message through to us. And as I said,
we would like to announce that KFAR Radio will take care of all these long-distance phone calls, so please do not make these calls. Please do not make these calls, as this will tie up the lines. This will give our operator up here problems getting through on the phone calls. KFAR radio will take care of these emergency messages going to the lower 48. We'll return you now to radio station KNI in Anchorage.
It's quite unsettling to even think about it. But we'll get used to the idea, I'm sure, pretty soon after the sun comes up in the morning. You'll go to sleep, and then you'll wake up, and probably shortly after you wake up, you'll think, gee, we had an earthquake, or did I dream that? No, I didn't dream it. It was real. We really did have an earthquake. And then you'll look out, look around you, and yes, we really did. Bill, you have more messages.
Yes, I have another one. We just called Mrs. Robert Height at the phone number you gave us, and she'd like us to put out this message. Her husband, Robert Height, was on the way. Her father-in-law, Robert Height, was on the way to Indian, Alaska, just before the earthquake began. He lives in the house, this side of Indian House in Indian, Alaska, and she wants to know if he is all right and if any of the three boys would call her at her home and let her know. She certainly would appreciate it. And the number is FA24277. Mrs. Robert Height's trying to find out about her husband, Robert, who was on the way to Indian, Alaska, her father-in-law, Robert Height, who was on his way to Indian, Alaska during the time of the earthquake. Her number is FA24277. And we just received word from Jeannie Chance, who is currently covering the meeting upstairs in the public safety building. At this time, she doesn't need any help, but she will give us a report on the meeting as soon as it's concluded. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you very much. And I think that probably Otto's collected a few more messages from his telephone there, too. In the interest of keeping the lines clear, the reason they're asking to do this is not because they don't want to do the work, or not because they are too tired to do it. The reason they wanted to hold back on this type of call is that they want to keep those lines available for people who really do have an emergency and really do need the line for other than relieving somebody's mind. Relieving the people's mind back there is going to be, we can do that in due time without clogging up the phone lines between here and the South 48 right now. How does this read a commercial? Well, this isn't exactly a commercial, Otto. Robert J. Main, who is a geophysicist with the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey at Sitka, says that the seismo there showed that a quiet period immediately after the first shock. And then...
This is KFAR Radio 660 on your dial in Fairbanks, Alaska, interrupting the broadcast from KNI for a special report from the Fairbanks Civil Defense Office with your reporter, Paul Garwood. Paul Garwood, are you standing by?
Right, I am, Lee. Speaking from the Civil Defense Headquarters, a report has just come over the Civil Defense Network concerning the city of Kodiak on Kodiak Island. The report says that the downtown area of Kodiak has been demolished. Their water supply is okay, although mains have been ruptured. They expect to have water on by mid-morning. The electric plant is in good shape, but the circulating pumps have been knocked out and there is no power at the present time. They hope to have power in the residential areas sometime tomorrow. Naval base officers and city officials will meet later this morning to plan action. In other villages on the island, Old Harbor and Kagiak are reported wiped out. There is no word as yet on Abognak, and west side villages are believed to be generally in good shape. There is an unknown number of casualties on Kodiak. They have not begun to tally them yet, but they expect there to be an additional 50 or so when the water recedes and they are able to uncover the debris that has covered the waterfront in the downtown area. This is Paul Garwood reporting for KFAR News from Civil Defense Headquarters in downtown Fairbanks.
This is Harry Hughes monitoring the earthquake reports and messages on these tapes for what value they may be. The radio station KFAR at Fairbanks is doing an excellent job, as KENI of Anchorage. And this tape will carry quite a lot of importance of how people panic. The first reports were outrageous, although there's enormous disaster. The panic that takes effect. It was more than 1 hour before information started to get out after the earthquake. I think that the Office of Civil Defense at Washington, D.C. should be informed of these things and study these things in case we have any kind of a disaster. This is Harry Hughes, terminating this tape.